This is Lenora Hammond in the studio for From the Frontline. With me today is my husband, Peter Hammond, and we will be discussing Livingston Fellowship and God's incredible faithfulness over the last 14 years. So, Peter, why was Livingston Fellowship launched in the first place?
Well, we actually had quite a lot of requests to establish a congregation that would take God's law seriously and see all nations in God's purpose, support Christian schooling and home education in particular, and support ministries to the persecuted church, restore hymns to Sunday worship, give emphasis to Psalms and the Puritan vision of victory. There's a lot of things people are requesting and thinking, well, this is quite a list. And back in 2005, Reverend Bill Bathman and I approached Reverend Earl O'Steegan at Kwasibantu Mission. We were both invited to be guest speakers at the youth conference there, December 2005. We sought him for his counsel, and Reverend Steegan actually encouraged us to go ahead and establish such a congregation at our mission house in Cape Town, which was done beginning of January 2006. So a Livingston Fellowship was launched particularly in response to a need that was seen to be filled, particularly for home educators. I'd say home educators was the main group that we would think of. Many home educators were told that they were being actually harassed in the congregation, treated with hostility, told that they shouldn't be doing this, and in some ways being treated like second-class citizens or worse. So there were a number of home education families, including Owen, that wanted a place that would be all-age service, not with teen church, children's church, but all-age integrated worship, and which is not too well understood in many cases. And again, to get back to things like the hymns and the psalms and missions. So this was all, by God's grace, Reverend Bill Bathman, Earl O'Steegan's counsel, and when we launched it, there were actually three of us effectively as elders. There's also Tim Keller, a missionary that we were training at the time, and so with your father and myself, we took the bold step 14 years ago.
And so the principles that Livingston Fellowship is committed to or has been committed to over the last 14 years have been what?
Well, in a nutshell, Reformation doctrines, especially as summed up in the five battle cries of the Reformation, the five solas, the Latin solas, sola scriptura, scripture alone is the ultimate authority. Sola gratia, salvation is by the grace of God alone. Sola fide, salvation, justification is received by faith alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone is the head of the church and the only mediator through whose work we can be redeemed. And soli deo gloria, which is actually on our coin, still on a one-rand coin, South Africa. Soli to the glory of God, to God alone belongs all the glory. So those five solas of the Reformation are foundational Reformation principles. But Livingston Fellowship, right from the beginning, was evangelical, Protestant, Reformed, having an eschatology of victory, a vision of victory, and was very much committed to the great confessions of the church, particularly as a Reformed Baptist congregation, the London Confession of Faith of 1689, that was our foundation. The Westminster Larger Catechism, we read through and referred to that a lot. And the 39 Articles, foundational of the Church of England, the Reformed Church of England, 39 Articles, we would refer to that on occasions too. So we held to the doctrines of historic Christian orthodoxy, including the Apostles' Creed, which all of our people learned off by heart and we preached through. The Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed were all recited at different times in our church calendar. So you would say Livingston Fellowship was inerrancy of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, the sovereignty of God, with a particular distinctive of psalm reading and responsive psalm reading, hymn singing, biblical exposition. I think what also made us maybe a bit unique from many congregations is we were practically pro-life, pro-family, concerned for the persecuted church, prayed imprecatory prayers against the persecuted church and encouraged all our members to be involved in evangelism, supporting missions in the persecuted church. So our people were trained in the way of the master, evangelism explosion, and it was normal for people of Livingston Fellowship, if not the whole congregation, to be involved in life chains, marches to parliament, biblical worldview summits. Of course, we observed Sanctity Life Sunday, National Day of Repentance, Ascension Day, very important, life chains, the Reformation Day celebrations, we would always take Reformation Day and International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church very seriously. Remembrance Sunday, remembering the soldiers who've died in the wars, and participating in Great Commission courses and Biblical Worldview Summits. I don't think, despite our small size, we must have had the highest percentage of involvement in all those sort of activities because it was a missionary-minded fellowship from the very beginning.
So, in addition to all of the things that you've just listed, the distinctives between Livingstone Fellowship and another congregation, can you summarize how were you different? And if there was another Reformed church in the area, what made you different from them?
Well, we certainly sought to be cooperating team builders with others. We would be inviting other Reformed people in as guest speakers. We would regularly be, when I was in the field and your father's in the field and Tim was in the field, we'd encourage people to support other local Reformed church. But we were trying to balance Reformation doctrine and Puritan devotion, doctrine and devotion, head and heart, to see biblical truths on fire with practical application. So very high priority was given to teaching through Sunday sermons and the Reformation lectures. Our midweek was the Reformation Society, which is also 14 years going now. And so we had a big library, had this tremendous library, audio, video, books, and so on. But I think by being dedicated to Reformation, missions, education, the persecuted church, and expecting our people to get in the streets for the outreaches, to get into everything from door-to-door evangelism, Muslim evangelism, pro-life events, having our people thoroughly steeped in Way of the Master and evangelism explosion courses, so that our people were involved in the literature distribution, the personal evangelism, the marches to Parliament. And because we saw the family as the basic building block of society, we did not want to have separate age-segregated services for children or teen church, but to have the whole family involved in the main worship service. We did do special programs for children at other times, but not Sunday morning. And so the family being the basic building block of society, the church cannot take responsibility for raising people's children. The family itself, the father and mother, must take the primary responsibility through family devotions, daily discipline, doing a thorough job of restitution and repentance, teaching a work ethic to their children. So we weren't trying to provide everything. In fact, Livingstone Fellowship expressive from the beginning was to respect the tremendous time demands on families today, particularly home education families. We only had two events a week, and that was the midweek Thursday night Reformation Society meeting and the Sunday morning service. And that was it. We never tried to have an evening service, never tried any other meetings, because we thought two meetings a week is more than enough and let the family devotions do the rest of the work.
And so I'm curious, why was it named Livingstone Fellowship in the first place?
Well, there's a number of reasons. The one thing is that our venue is Livingstone House, the headquarters of Frontline Fellowship. Also because Dr. David Livingstone is the inspiration for so much missions in Africa. He is the pioneer. In fact, I think Dr. David Livingstone's got to be the most beloved name, most respected name in Africa. The example of David Livingstone led us to launch also the Dr. David Livingstone Facebook page, dr.davidlivingstone Facebook page, and the Livingstone 200 website, which in fact led to the Livingstone 200. In 2013, we were celebrating the 200th anniversary of the birth of Dr. David Livingstone, the best friend Africa ever had. And so because David Livingstone was Reformed, he was post-millennial, meaning he had an eschatology of victory, believing the Great Commission would be fulfilled before the Lord's return, and because he was ministering to body, mind, and spirit. As a medical doctor, he ministered to the body. As a preacher and teacher of the gospel, he ministered to the mind. And he also ministered to the spirit, to the soul, through his evangelism. So David Livingstone's a great example. He was willing to get involved in fighting Arab slave traders, setting captives free. He was involved through education to mobilize more relief for the people in Africa and to expose the slave trade. So because of David Livingstone's unique positive eschatology, his boldness, his courage, his missionary mindedness, we thought here's a good example. And then there's a verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we took the name Livingstone not only from the missionary after whom this mission headquarters is named, but from 1 Peter 2, that in fact, as Christians, we are called to be living stones in the church, the body of Christ. What a privilege to be his sons and daughters, his servants and soldiers, part of his army and church worldwide.
So in 14 years, that's a lot of sermons. Have you worked out how many messages were actually preached? Is there a number for that? Knowing you, there usually is.
Well,
but one can just gather if there's 52 weeks in the year and it's 14 years. That's a lot of sermons.
It is. And while we may have failed on a couple of occasions, most were recorded and most have been uploaded onto Sermon Audio. So I'm informed by our son who did the statistics that we now have 816 sermons online on Sermon Audio. So under my name, Peter Hammond, in the Frontline Fellowship Sermon Audio archive, there are 816 sermons or Reformation Society lectures online. And just last year, we uploaded 179 sermons and lectures onto our Sermon Audio page. That's in my name alone. And last year, there were 161,000 downloads on wow. just our Sermon Audio page. So that's 161,000 in just 1 year. I don't know the amount of downloads to date, but in fact, it's more than just the Sermon Audio now, because some of the messages were actually videoed, just a few, like Reformation Day events and so on. And so the videos are also on our Vimeo channel, and it's amazing how much there is. But there's a website as well, and the Livingston website has actually a surprising amount of participants, so that on our Livingston website, we've not only got the sermons, text, sermons, links, audio, a few of the videos, some slide shares, but also links to the books, and we've got a plethora of tracts. I think there's over 70 evangelistic and discipleship tracts, some translated to other languages. We've even got a French flag, Russian flag, German flag, Afrikaans. So there's a range of different languages that we've got some tracts in, some more than others. And so Livingston Fellowship has become a very useful site. What was drawn to my attention some years ago was friends of ours who were working in the Arab Emirates up in the Middle East doing contract work. They said they couldn't access the Frontline website. It seems to be blocked in these Muslim countries for some strange reason. So we thought at that point, quite a good idea to have another website where we don't put anything of controversy, so to speak, where you're dealing with the persecuted church directly or exposing Islam or something like that, but just Bible studies and sermons. And so Livingston Fellowship's just Bible studies and sermons, although they certainly touch every area of life at some stage. And Livingston Fellowship website has not been blocked, and because it doesn't get as much traffic as Frontline probably as well. But that is able to be accessed by people in remote areas. We've had letters from as far afield as Korea, Mongolia, Caribbean islands, weird places out there, countries that people have trouble finding on the map. So there's no doubt that the website's reaching people, and we hear from people who are homeschoolers in remote areas, hours away from the nearest church, where they actually use the audios or watch our videos of the Reformation Society meetings or go through slide shares. I've heard of people saying that they take my sermons and use it for their preparation for preaching on Sunday. So there are people we know who have found it good for them to launch their own home fellowships as well.
So just to recap, if someone's new to this and has never heard of Livingston Fellowship before and they want to have access to these messages and sermons, just recap again where they can find this. What do they go on to?
Right,
what do they look for?
First of all, www.livingstonfellowship.co.za, or as the Americans would say, ZA. So livingstonfellowship.co.za or ZA. And that's got sermons, audios, and links to a whole range of other things, plus tracks. But then there's the Livingston Fellowship Facebook page, and the Livingston Fellowship Facebook page gets vastly more people reaching. In fact, it's quite mind-boggling. When I saw these statistics from Christopher, I had to double-check with him, did you get this right? 10,300,000 people reached in the last year, with over 15,700,000 total impressions, which means views, with 3.5 million post engagements. Now, a post engagement means somebody liked, commented, or shared it. So that's 3.5 million people were actually, or 3.5 million actual engagements, likes, comments, shares, from one 1.5 million engaged users. So that's about 1.5 million people commented, reacted, and shared Livingston Fellowship posts, which were mostly sermons and Bible studies, just over the last year alone. So if a person prefers social media, Livingston Fellowship. If they prefer the website, livingstonfellowship.co.za. If they want to go on sermon audio, look for Peter Hammond on Frontline Fellowship on sermon audio. And if they go onto our website, it's the From the Frontline, Frontline Fellowship website, frontlinemissionsa.org. We'll have all the different videos. But I think there's a link on Livingston Fellowship web as well, even to the videos. There's less videos, but they are of special events like Reformation Day, Euro Choir events, and so on.
So, but the other thing that I believe Livingston Fellowship has enabled you to do is to systematically work your way through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And I believe you have said in the past that it takes far more discipline to condense any book of the Bible, especially the bigger ones, into one sermon or even two sermons. It's another thing to preach through one book of the Bible for years or for months. But you've really done, in a nutshell, in a very succinct, highlighted way, and you've produced quite a number of books as a result of Living Fellowship. But let's just focus for the moment on the New Testament survey and the Old Testament survey.
Right. Well, these are definitely, without a doubt, the most monumental achievements of the 14 years of Livingston Fellowship, the Bible survey, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey. And the Old Testament survey is 280 pages, New Testament survey is about 300 pages. And you may wonder, well, why is the New Testament survey bigger when it's, well, it's just so much in it. Old Testament's got lots of stories, New Testament's got lots of teaching. But to go through it, I calculated that, well, you know, the average sermon preparation for the average sermon can be anything from 12, 14 hours. But for the Bible surveys, I was averaging 25 hours to 45 hours. In the case of Psalms, it would have gone way over the 60 hours. Isaiah was also up there in the 50 hours or so. Because, first of all, to get a full understanding of the whole book, and then to summarize it, and condense it, and subtitle it, and to look for alliterations, and look for patterns, and to be able to explain not just the background of the book and where it fits in the whole counsel, but to see Christ in every book of the Bible, and to be able to tie it all into the scarlet thread of God's redemption. So when I was doing this, I knew this was a great vision. And in fact, it just shows how everything dovetails. So Livingston Fellowship as a congregation was privileged to be at the first receiving end of this, because last year, 2019, was the 500th anniversary of the birth of expository preaching. Ulrich Zwingli, the great Swiss reformer, launched the Swiss Reformation on the 1st of January 1519 by opening up the Bible in Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and starting expository preaching line by line, verse by verse, through every book of the New Testament. Now, this was revolutionary, radical. He dispensed with the Latin Mass and he started to preach to people in their language, Schweizerdeutsch, in the language of people, the words of God, first and foremost, and the whole service was built around now expounding God's word and applying it to every area of life. And so Ulrich Zwingli was the founder, the father of expository preaching. And so over 6 years now, 7 years ago, we launched the vision of back to biblical exposition for 2019. So the goal was to finish Old Testament survey and New Testament survey, which I thought shouldn't be that difficult. I thought I could do it in 3 years. Fortunately, we started 6 years back because it took 3 years to preach the Old Testament and took 3 years to preach the New Testament. Not that I was doing it every Sunday, because sometimes it was taking weeks and weeks to work through these books along with missionary responsibilities to really get to be able to summarize it. And on the way, so each Old Testament or New Testament book was preached generally in one sermon, but some books needed two sermons. Some were just that deep, like Ephesians, for example. Some, like Psalms, needed five sermons. Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible. Some were really, really hard and difficult. And so going through this, the Old Testament took me about 1,000 hours. The New Testament took me about 780 hours, if I remember right. So going through it, we had audio recorded. So we ended up with an audio MP3 box set with all the sermons, something like 28 hours of Old Testament sermons preached, which is, it's more than meat. In some cases, it's built on. It's really condensed and accessible. And then After the audio, we then worked each one into sermon notes, into chapters, into a polished book. So these books now are published in time for the Reformation 500 event on biblical exposition last year. So we now have been able to present these books to Bible colleges, like Back to the Bible Mission of Professor Scheimelder, as textbooks with a copy given to every student and staff member. So faculty and students all over are now using these books. And so I think there's one way we've helped the Coalition on Revival, the Christian Action Network, the whole network that we've got around of giving libraries for pastors, especially when you bear in mind that the vast majority of pastors in Africa don't have formal Bible college training. And to give them good books. Now, for many of them, to give them a nice big study Bible is very expensive and hard. It's more cost effective to give them a book summary as a first step. And so this is very useful, lightweight, compact, a missionary tool to put in the hands of pastors all over Africa. And it'll give them a couple of years worth of great sermons to preach through and apply in their situation and take the people through the whole counsel of God. Because most Christians have never read the whole Bible, and most pastors have certainly never preached through every book of the Bible. And I'd certainly never thought of preaching through Obadiah or Amos or something. And so this was a really great, and you could say that this was the biggest project done in Livingston Fellowship, and that we've left people the whole Bible. And so if a person just goes into sermon audio, they can access the audios of those. Now, of course, some of the audios were more polished than others. Sometimes I had the notes all perfectly polished before I preached it, like Revelation. That was so hard, I had to have it done perfectly. But others were more expounding it as I was still polishing the notes. And so some are more polished than others. But we've got a whole audio MP3 box set, and we've got now the two books making up a series through every one of the six books of the Bible.
And you mentioned some of the creeds as well. I believe you produced the Apostles' Creed, a small booklet, which is very handy to hand out. And you worked your way through that and you preached your way through that.
Yes, now this is handy indeed. I mean, it's designed to fit in your average pocket. And to take a person through the 12 main basic core doctrines covered in the Apostles' Creed. And this is wonderful to have people know what they believe. So when I think of with our children, the first thing I want to teach our children before they could even speak was the Lord's Prayer, because I pray them the Lord's Prayer every night along with other prayers. And they could actually almost say the Lord's Prayer before they could speak, because that repetition brings revelation. And so you want to know how to pray, that's the Lord's Prayer. You want to know how to behave, that's the Ten Commandments. You want to know what we believe, that's the Apostles' Creed. And we want to know how people are saved, well, that's evangelism explosion. And so having a lot of repetition, once we get our people to understand the core skeleton, you can start to hang flesh on it and build up person's knowledge. So the Apostles' Creed was one of our early projects, and I think this has been super successful. We've gone through several print runs, and we've distributed something like 15,000 copies of these throughout Africa. So at many a pastor seminar, we preach through it, then we give them the booklet, they take it back with them, and it fits in their pocket, and they can work on memorize. So several of these nice little booklets, and I must say, the small size booklets was not something we used to do, but I learned that from Small Paul. Paul Young, he uses this size booklets after his chalk talks, and I thought, what a good idea. It's cost effective, you can just read a lot, it's pocket handy, so the smaller the book, the more people will read it, they say.
Yeah, it's nice to keep in your car.
Yes, indeed.
And any other book projects or things that are of lasting value that have gone all across the world that you feel came as a result, direct result of Livingston Fellowship?
Well, direct result was the Ten Commandments. We preached through the Ten Commandments. In fact, I did this twice, separate but several years, with two different editions coming out. The first one, the Ten Commandments, God's Perfect Law of Liberty, which I was blessed to get even people like Ray Comfort and Todd Friel giving endorsements to it enthusiastically, because it dovetails with the Way of the Masters evangelistic program so well. And after a few years, I looked back and I thought, you know, we can improve on this. So I reworked everything and re-preached through everything. And I think that the second is vastly superior to our first edition. And then we got translated Afrikaans too, which is really nice. So the Ten Commandments, God's Perfect Law of Liberty, is available in both English and Afrikaans, and it's an audio MP3 as well. Plus, it's again on our sermon audio. So people have got this bank. Again, so many people have this delusion that I'm a good person and everyone's good people. And so when you don't compare yourself to the world, but you compare yourself to God's word and to God's law and to God's standards, well, then we realize how we all fail. And the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law is the schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. So I think one of the first things that any pastor should do is preach through the Ten Commandments, followed up by the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and the way of salvation. But the Ten Commandments is so key. The law is the schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. And this is such a foundation to how the Lord did his evangelism. As Ray Comforts pointed out, the Lord always used the law to bring conviction of sin. Law to the proud heart, grace to the humble heart. You give law to break the hard heart, you give the gospel to heal the broken heart. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so the Ten Commandments, studying it, was awfully humbling, because many of us think, well, you know, I've kept most of the Ten Commandments, I've only broken a few. But when you really look at it in the light of the teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, we realize we've all failed and broken God's laws on so many levels. And so it brings great humility and appreciation of our salvation. So I think this Ten Commandments series really was another major highlight of the studying and the preaching of Livingston Fellowship for me.
So not only have you ministered to your own congregation for 14 years, and not only have other small home churches or remote gatherings listened to your sermons, but now a lot of this is in book format, so that for the foreseeable future, other ministers, perhaps with either no training or little training, have got tools with which to minister to their congregations. And many of them have several congregations.
Yes, in Africa it's not unusual to get a pastor having 2, 3, even 5 or 7 congregations. And of course, there have been some great work done in all these things by great people. But bear in mind that we're writing for an African audience. We're writing for people on the ground in missions. So that I think one of my jobs is to make things simple, accessible, and compact. Because if you look at some of the things that have been produced by brilliant people, and just have to think, Martin Lloyd-Jones took 6 years to preach through the Book of Romans. Well, I've gone the other extreme. somebody said he left the congregation where Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching, came back several years later, and he's still in the Book of Romans. Well, you know, with me, you miss one week, you might miss a whole book. So I realized it was a different way, but bearing in mind the need for accessible, and accessible also needs to be compact and print and cost-effective, because we've got to transport them in the field, post them, and so on. And by the way, all these books, we've got them available as books for people to buy. We've also got them available for students on the William Carey Bible Institute, that those who want to, we make it available free for the students studying in restricted access areas in Muslim countries, communist countries, and so on. They get the books free as PDFs online to be able to study with. So it's in fact been multiplied through the William Carey website as well. But to make it simple and to make it accessible, I remember being challenged that if you can't explain your doctrines that your 6 or 7-year-old understands, then maybe you don't understand well enough yourself. And for me, it's always been challenged, how can I make this simple, understandable, accessible, so that even a child can understand? And that's actually harder, because a good academic, you know, he can just, well, so-and-so says this, and this person says that, and 16 such-and-such said this, and this says that. And you just throw everything out there. But at the end of it, the student might be more confused than anything else, because, and now that's easy. You can throw everything you know about the thing out there in some kind of mix. But to organize, systematize, summarize, and apply it with catchy subtitles, catchy alliteration, summarizing so that the word pictures, this is so much what we do, because we know the people we're ministering to. These books are going to Sudan, they're going to the Congo, they're going to Nigeria, to Liberia, Egypt, and so on. So we are, as missionaries, interacting with people on the ground. We know what the people understand, what they don't understand. We've made it super accessible. So I think that's what's also been a distinctive.
But not only is it compact and accessible and simple and summarized, but it's also being used by people for whom English is their second language. So in that respect, yes, it really has to not be simple in that it's watering down the message, but simple in that it can be understood by somebody who's preaching in yes. something other than their mother tongue.
And that's why, you know, I don't throw people dead with great theological terms about being epistemologically self-conscious, theonomic, this and that. We don't use the terminology. We try to make things understandable, yes, which I know that some of my great theologian friends may snigger at some of my books saying, you know, you've only got one or two-page bibliography at the end. And I said, yes, but I don't double-space, and I've actually read them. But I might have 30 books listed in that one-page bibliography, but they're smaller type because, to me, we're not trying to impress the academics. We're trying to help the people on the ground. Mm-hmm. As Dr. Fritz Haus said, Jesus said, feed my sheep. He's not talking about the giraffes or the people in ivory towers. Feed the sheep. And that's been a concern.
Yeah. And your most practical book, would you say, that might have come out of the years of preaching through?
Well, your father said that his favorite was My Practical Discipleship. And Practical Discipleship, Bold and Biblical Faith in Action, has been translated also into Afrikaans. And this has been, it's got a vast amount of chapters, which is basically a whole lot of sermons or Bible studies preached at Livingston Fellowship. 30 different chapters going everywhere from the mountains of God, the different high levels of revelation, all the way through to revival. And I've managed to get forward not only by Reverend Bill Batham, but also introduction by Erlo Stegen, who both have played such a key role in the founding of Livingston Fellowship. So Practical Discipleship, I'd say that's another one of, that's the real discipleship. We start with the Ten Commandments, go on to Practical Discipleship, and then go on to the Old and New Testament survey. I mean, those are three of the big series, which really was the backbone of Livingston Fellowship.
And what about for somebody who's still really doubting and questioning and skeptical and just not sure?
Well, there was a series called Answering Skeptics, and I preached 14 messages, which are available on audio, box it again, Answering Skeptics, and we produced the book Answering Skeptics. And interesting enough, this particular series we also managed to get in an abbreviated form in local Christian magazine as well. In fact, quite a lot of the different practical discipleship materials and the Ten Commandments and the Bible surveys, a lot of those also did get into local magazines in a very abbreviated form, like sometimes it would be only a quarter of what would appear in our books, but nevertheless reached a wider audience in that way. So this Answering Skeptics, I must say, another very good series. It was fun for me to go through the people who say, well, how do I know there is a God? And what evidence do you have that the Bible is the Word of God? And why does a good God lie evil? Why does God not stop all the suffering now? But aren't all religions the same? And how can a loving God condemn anyone to hell? How do you know that Jesus is alive? How can I know Jesus is the Messiah? And is the doctrine of Trinity really taught in the Bible? What about all the hypocrites in the church? What about the Crusades? And there's all those sort of things preached to us. So, yes, I must say, preaching to skeptics, I've many a time preached to hostile audiences, not only on university campuses, but even in terrorist camps. So I found that great fun to have battle-tested series. And those are also on the sermon audio, the Answering Skeptics under these different titles.
And one of your other goals within Livingston Fellowship was to reintroduce people back to the deep, rich hymns of our forefathers, hymns of the faith. And you produced at least two hymn books out of all of that, which are now being used in other congregations as well.
Yes, in fact, there were several editions, but in 2017, we produced the Livingston Fellowship Reformation 500 hymn book, which with over 140 odd hymns, including some even in German, French, and Afrikaans, but overwhelmingly English, of course. So this hymn book, it's a very accessible. I know several missions, churches, and homes that are using this. When we've had people coming to our camps, I've often had people saying, this is the first time I ever sang a hymn. And most are used to choruses or hill songs and so on. And so to get the hymns, which like A Mighty Fortress Thou God, Jesus Shall Reign, Christ Shall Have Dominion, Amazing Grace, so many great, great hymns. So when we put this together, and I thought this is helpful. When we started, we struggled to find different. We had to find hymns that were easy for people to learn, easy for people to sing, a cappella as well, because not everyone has the privilege of musical accompaniment. At the beginning, we had a keyboard person. We had someone who's on flute. We sometimes had violins. So we had some beautiful musical accompaniment. But often you're without a musician and then you've got to sing a cappella. So, but these hymns, I think they've enriched our fellowship and have certainly enriched a lot of others. How many times we found these deep hymns like I Ask the Lord and others that just, it not only teaches and enriches and encourages you, it comforts, it challenges. In many cases, it calls one to the fight. Stand up for Jesus, onward Christian soldiers. Who is on the Lord's side? And so, in fact, hymns like From Greenland's Icy Mountains, which was so popular in the 19th century, they said From Greenland's Icy Mountains mobilized more missionaries in the mission field than any other hymn. And that it reached a stage that people knew it so well, they could sing it without the words because it was so well known, people knew it off by heart. Mm. And yet you speak even missions conferences, most people had never heard of From Greenland's Icy Mountains. And so I think going back to the scriptures and going back to the hymns and the psalms have been very therapeutic and healthy.
So, now that you're not working 7 days a week anymore, what are you going to do with all this extra time? Have you got some specific goals that you think you want to address now that you might have a little bit more time on your hands?
Yes, well, of course, Livingston Fellowship always was a part-time, I couldn't say hobby because it became far more than that, but it was done on my spare time. To be honest, most of the sermon preparation and work was actually done on weekends. And late at night and early in the morning, and I must say, Sunday was not a day of rest for me. And as you pointed out, I've been doing a seven-day week for very many years, and this is not actually healthy. Well, of course, my first and primary calling is Frontline Fellowship. And while Frontline Fellowship's benefited from the books and the audios that we've produced through this, at this stage, after 14 years, we've looked and said, I need to put all my attention fully into ministering to persecuted church, advancing Frontline's work, working for Reformation Revival. So while our Reformation Society Thursday night meeting is going to continue, our Sunday services at the end of this month, we'll have our final fellowship service. And for the time being, it's suspended, closed. We're not envisaging. And when we started Livingston Fellowship, there were three elders, Tim Keller, Bill Bathman, myself. That was workable. But over the years, I've ended up being the only teaching elder effectively. That's not workable, not even any deacon material as such. And so while I think we've reached the end of what God had set for the season. We've provided these great textbooks. We've got the Bible survey finished. We've got this great bank of audios that's blessing and guiding others. Now it's time for me to focus primarily on Frontline Fellowship and our visions for the future. As a mission leader, I think that the whole mission's benefited from this project, but right now I need these extra hours a week to devote completely to. In fact, we've got a lot of other books that need to get completed. The Great Commission Handbook, I'm being invited to lecture at Bible colleges, Bible college consultations. Even this year, there's invitations to run Great Commission training courses in countries as far afield as America and Zambia. And that's good to mobilize people in that direction. And I'm hoping that I can be more productive, but some things are for a season. And the Livingston Fellowship website will continue ministering. Our sermon audio continues ministering. These books continue ministering, even though we're not going to be having these Sunday services in the future after the 23rd of February. That'll be the last one. Yes, I'm looking forward to actually being able to study wider on mission subjects that I can apply for our further Great Commission training. It's so important for me to replicate my own ministry. I need to train, disciple other missionaries. So we've done a great amount of biblical exposition. I don't know how many pastors can say they've preached every book in the Bible. Now it's time for me to focus 100% on being a missionary.
Well, as my mother used to say, everything has its season. And this has been quite a long season and it's been a busy season. And perhaps just being a member of Livingston Fellowship myself, one didn't necessarily even see as much fruit within our own fellowship as we can see based on the statistics and the webs and the books that have gone out and the amount of people who use the hymn books and the amount of schools that are using these and online colleges. And so I think the beneficial aspect of of Livingston will never be appreciated as much locally as it will be certainly within Africa and also worldwide, really.
And also considering that a lot of my work is training pastors in the field, my appreciation of those pastors and what they face has been increased because I've had baptisms, dedications, weddings, funerals, counseling crises, lots of those, things that you couldn't envisage or have ever expected to have happened. And so I must say, anyone who thinks that all a pastor does is, oh, he just works for one day of the week or one or two meetings a week, they obviously have no understanding of what goes into to good sermon preparation or counseling and the behind-the-scenes work. So I think it's made me a better missionary trainer of trainers in the field because I've got a better hands-on experience on what it actually involved in pastoral work. Even though I saw this as doing it in my spare time, so to speak, as a missionary, our pastors need a lot of help, and I think that we're better equipped now to train and to empower them because I've got more insights than I had before.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening. It's been great to have some time with you, and we hope you enjoyed this presentation of Livingston Fellowship. And please go back and review the websites, the Facebook pages. Know that these resources are all available to anybody for the asking. And there's a variety of ways that you can get a hold of them. So God bless you all, and we look forward to talking with you again next time.
God bless. Good night.